a very wonderful and blessed, happy and joyous Sabbath to one and all. Praise God for protecting us through the last week and allowing us to come back and to worship Him on this memorial of His creationary power. Indeed, it is a joy to worship and praise Him as our God and Creator, and to uplift our Savior and to be filled with the Spirit of God on this, the beginning of another wonderful Sabbath day in fellowship with you all. Also want to welcome those that are on the phone and to those who will be listening to the recording of this service. And again, our God is so merciful and kind and tender-hearted, and He is indeed worthy to be praised. With every breath that we breathe, He is worthy to be praised. So again, welcome, dear ones. And our opening song for this beginning of the Sabbath meeting is entitled, Draw Me Nearer. And the lyrics are found at lightministries.com/ID824.htm. Draw me nearer.
Blessed and Sabbath blessings to everyone. And I pray that those who are coming into the Sabbath, praise the living God. What a rejoicing. And those that are about to come into it or already in it, I know you're rejoicing also. Those listening in, God bless you all. Blessed Sabbath to you all, and those listening later on. Praise the living God. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith, and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest and dwell with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. And indeed, it's at the foot of the cross where we can leave all of our burdens there and truly rest in the love of our Savior. I invite you to please kneel before our God and to bow your heads in opening prayer for this Sabbath service. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so unworthy to lift our prayers and our thoughts upward. And we thank you so much for considering us worthy enough to send your Son down to die for us, that in him we can become your sons and daughters and truly adopted into the family of God. Thank you so much for this infinite love and merciful kindness that you've shown to each one. Please help us not to cast it aside. Help us not to allow self to cloud our understanding of the truth or our performance of it. Let it be completely crucified, removed from us. And please, Father, send your Holy Spirit to be with us. And please, Spirit, cleanse us and help us to draw ever closer to our Savior, being willing to bear our cross in separating from sin, from our wrong habits, from our evil thoughts and ways, so that we might indeed be that new creature in Christ Jesus, the one that is born again each and every day, that we might come ever closer to imaging thee in character and truly being your followers and witnesses in this earth in these very last days. So, dear Father, please dwell with us. Dear Savior, please be here as well. And please, Spirit, prick us, convict us of our sins and of righteousness and of judgment, and bring upon us the power from above, the divine grace and strength that we need to live the life of our Savior and not our own. We thank you, Godhead, for being here in our midst. I pray that you'll be with all of those who are not with us tonight or who may be soon to come in. Please continue to work in their lives, lead and guide them, bless them, Father, and help them to come up ever higher on the straight and narrow path. Be with all of those that are in the valley of decision and help them with the divine insight and enlightenment to see the true path that leads to eternal life, and give them the strength, grace, and courage to follow it regardless of the cost or the consequences. Father, we pray that we may indeed understand things we may have never thought or understood of before. And we thank you so very much for hearing and answering this prayer, for we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're continuing to read in our lesson book, Patriarchs and Prophets. And the link is found at lightministries.com/ID818.htm. We're in chapter 7, entitled The Flood, and we're all the way down to about a third of the way through page 96. And the paragraph begins, "It was not multitudes or majorities that were on the side of right." So Patriarchs and Prophets, chapter 7, down about a third of the way on page 96. "It was not multitudes or majorities that were on the side of right. The world was arrayed against God's justice and his laws, and Noah was regarded as a fanatic." Remember, Noah was preaching the message of God, the message of righteousness, the message that people were to separate from the corrupted world and come to be hid within the ark of safety. And the multitudes of the worlds, those that were in the majority, were not on the side of right. They were on the broad road that led to destruction. They were among those that chose to rebel against God, His justice, and His laws, and were among those that regarded Noah and his message as to be fanatical. Is it any different today, dear ones? Continuing. Satan, when tempting Eve to disobey God, said to her, "Ye shall not surely die," which was Genesis 3:4. Great men, worldly, honored, and wise men repeated the same. The threatenings of God, they said, are for the purpose of intimidating and will never be verified. You need not be alarmed. Such an event as the destruction of the world by the God who made it and the punishment of the beings He has created will never take place. Be at peace. Fear not. Noah is a wild fanatic. So this is what the great men, the worldly wise, the most honored, those that were considered to be wise and intelligent, learned men, were saying about God and Noah. When Noah was trying to arouse the people to understand the seriousness of the times that they were living in, that probation was soon to close, and that they needed to get right with God, to repent of their sins and to follow His commandments. These individuals were crying peace and safety. They were trying to soothe the awakened conscience of the people. And peer pressure was one of the greatest tools that they used to keep people from accepting the message that Noah was preaching and become saved. Did they have effect on the people? Very sadly, they did. Continuing, the world made merry at the folly of the deluded old man, referring to Noah. Instead of humbling the heart before God, they continued their disobedience and wickedness, the same as though God had not spoken to them through His servant. So did God come down Himself and deliver the message? No. He spoke it through Noah. How did they know that Noah was preaching the truth of God? If they would have examined his life and character, they would have seen that he was truly representing God in character, and thus his message had to be from God as well, because it matched his life. Noah wasn't just preaching to receive money and then behind the scenes was doing whatever he wanted to do, irregardless of the truth that he was preaching. His life and his character were in harmony with the message that he was delivering to the people from God. There was no hypocrisy there. He was willing to preach the message regardless of how much finances came in, regardless of how many people joined with him, regardless of how many were helping him build the ark. The truth of God was a living reality in his life. And the message that God gave him had to be preached. He could not hold it within. It was like a fire in his bones that he had to let out. And even though it caused people to be angry with him, even though he had people jeering at him and making fun of him and probably writing songs about him, it didn't matter. If there would have been an internet in his day, all across the internet would have been broadcasted all of the jeers, all of the taunts, all of the lies and deception, all of the made-up stories to try and degrade Noah in the eyes of the people in trying to prevent his message from going forth and reaching hearts. But yet, God was empowering the message, and his spirit was pricking hearts. And it didn't matter what the devil was doing through his agents to try and take away the influence of Noah from reaching the people. Yet, even with the whole world ranged against him, the message still went out in crystal clarity. It still had effect on hearts. And people were still impressed by the Holy Spirit that this message is true. Is it going to be any different today? Not at all. In fact, it's probably going to be worse because the devil knows that his time is short and that he, along with every one of his followers, is going to be destroyed for eternity. So, dear ones, if your name is not cast out by the people of the world and even by false brethren as being a deceiver, as being a servant of the devil, then there might just be something wrong with your life or with your message. Because all who follow Jesus Christ will suffer persecution. So if you find yourself being lauded up and placed on a pedestal by multitudes of people, then obviously you're not preaching the straight, cutting truth that God would have you preach. Because if you were, then you would also be labeled as a fanatic. You would also have individuals trying to assassinate your character by spreading all kinds of lies, making up things even, and trying to paint you in the darkest hue possible. And that's just the devil using them to try and discredit your influence, your reputation, so that your message will not have as great an effect upon the people as it should. But yet, God is in control. And he's going to use his spirit to empower the truth and break it through all of that custom and tradition, all of those lies and falsehoods, so that it accomplishes the purpose for which he sent it. So no matter how much the devil does to come against the truth, all of his best laid plans and efforts and devices and enterprises are just going to fall by the wayside. And the truth is going to gain the victory because the divine power of God is behind it. And there's nothing that the devil can do against divinity. He's not a god. He's a created angel. And thus he's not anywhere as powerful as God is, even though he may claim otherwise. So if your name is cast out as evil, then you know you're probably doing something right, and your message is probably on target. Because the devil does not roar unless he's being hurt. And the very fact that he's roaring shows you that you need to double your efforts at spreading the truth and living the truth, so that this great controversy can wind up and come to an end, and sin and sinners will soon be no more. So just as it was in the days of Noah, so is going to be today. So if you're expecting to have multitudes of people accept the message of truth that you're preaching, don't look for it. Don't set your heart on it. It would be fantastic if it happens, but it's not going to, because truth is never popular. Truth always has to fight against falsehood, darkness, and error. But that very battle, that very controversy that arises because you're preaching the truth and Satan is coming against you because of it, that very conflict God uses to open sleeping eyes, to break through blindness, to allow people to wake up. And once they're awake, then God can impress them to check it out, to verify it. And then they have a chance to be saved. But praise God that he honors you and me and all the rest of his followers with the privilege of connecting directly with him in seeking to save the lost, in sowing the seed of truth. And even though we may never see any harvest take place from our best efforts put forth, it doesn't matter. Because it's the Spirit that takes the truth and drives it into the hearts of the people, deep down into the soil of the honest. And it's the Spirit that waters that seed and sprouts it and works in the heart of the individual to produce a new child in the image of God. Many of us are just going to be sowers of the seed. We're not going to be part of reaping in the harvest from the seed sown. But that doesn't mean we become discouraged because we don't see any fruit. We become satisfied that as unworthy as we are, yet we can be directly connected with God in seeking to save the lost. That's what kept Noah going. And that's what's going to keep you and me going, dear ones. Union with God in spreading forth the truth to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Continuing to preach the message irregardless of the consequences. Not looking and trusting in what we see, but looking to and trusting in God. Because it's not our words that we're speaking. It's the divine word of God that we're speaking. And thus God has backed up his word with divine power. And his word is going to go forth, and the devil and none of his agents, even if it's the entire world, is going to be able to stop it from accomplishing the purpose that God has for it to accomplish. So don't become discouraged. Keep the truth in your heart. Keep the truth in your mind. Keep the truth upon your lips. And sow the truth beside all waters, besides all people. And it will indeed go all the way around the world and even come back to you, because it's been promised. Cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Ecclesiastes 11:1. It's been promised. So cast the bread of truth as far and wide as you possibly can, and God will take care of it, and he'll allow it to go all around the world, and it might even come all the way back to you after many days. The work is God's. It's not our work. We're just servants of the Most High. And God declares that the devil is a defeated foe, and his truth is going to accomplish and bring forth righteousness. New green grass from areas that look like barren desert. He is going to bring to life souls that are in spiritual death. And his spirit is going to breathe new life into them. And a vast army of Christ is going to be raised up. And the truth is going to fill this dark world with the glory of God. And no man, no group of men, no church, no union of churches, not even the devil himself can stop it. And praise God, dear ones. This is the type of faith that Noah had, that allowed him to continue to preach the last message of mercy for 120 years without becoming discouraged, without changing his message. And as the time neared the end, his message became more emphatic, with more emphasis. And the people saw and understood that it was because Noah loved them, and he didn't want to see a single soul lost. It's the same today, dear ones. The three angels' messages, empowered along with the fourth angel's message, is going to continue to get louder and stronger, with more emphasis, as we see the end approaching. And people are going to see a difference in how we present the message, because we're doing so not to be fed, not to receive the praise of men or women, not to receive filthy lucre and line our pockets, but because we love them. and we don't want to see a single soul lost. So the world made merry and declared Noah to be a deluded old man. And they continued on in their disobedience and wickedness. And the same thing is going to happen today by the majority. But there's going to be some who heed the message and praise God for those few righteous, honest-hearted souls. If you can reach one out of every 100 people that you take the message of truth to, just one out of 100, you're doing fantastic work for God. So don't become discouraged. And when you do feel discouraged, look at Noah. He preached the same message for 120 years without fail. We don't have that long. But if he could last 120 years without giving up the faith and becoming discouraged, we can surely last 30, or 20, or even one. So don't become discouraged, but keep looking up. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones? Any questions? But please feel free.
What a rejoicing, dear brother, in thinking on what Noah went through and the example that he leaves to us. Because I look at it like this also, what an amazing amount of love that he had to have learned during that time that the Father had for all mankind. To even put forth 120 years to plead with them. In the building of that ark was always a constant testimony, along with the preaching he was doing, that judgment was coming. And I can understand that too, that his heart had to have been grieving too. And I can see in a way that he must have pleaded time and time again with many stubborn people. But I'm sure that by God's amazing grace, he and his family, but I have to say mainly he too, had to deal with each person individually, even as the Lord deals with us individually. With some he may have had to be very firm. With some he had to probably be very fatherlike and tender, because not everyone was in the same position in even their rebellion. And some had to have been saved, according to what my understanding is in the spirit of prophecy. Some did hear and still went to sleep first before the flood came. Amen, dear brother. Some saved with fear and others with a more gentle approach. Exactly. And that is really how it has to still be today. We have to know and be willing to be obedient, even as Noah was obedient in the midst of all of that mockery, in the midst of being called a fanatic, being basically the social outcast in the midst of all the world at that time. Well, it's what we are called to be, because even Christ Jesus was an outcast from all the religious leaders. He was an outcast from those even in his own home at times. He was an outcast because of the truth he had to preach and the love that he was actually sharing. Well, we have to actually get to that point. We have to be willing to put it all out there for the Lord and preach exactly what we need to preach and share what we need to share of Christ in a loving way, in a tender way, in a firm way, but in an immovable way. We have to stay on the narrow path and, even as you had said, dear brother, sow seeds upon many waters, on every side sow. And we may not know who is going to be the one in the kingdom that we talk to. We do not know what they'll make it. It's not always for us to do the reaping, just as you had said. Some, that's all we're going to do is sow the seed. So sow. Sow with rejoicing. Sow with weeping. Sow with prayer. Sow with fasting. Sow. If we're faithful in the little that we do, the Lord in the future will make us faithful in much. And even for now, if we're faithful in little areas, the Lord will increase that as he desires so much to increase the size of the kingdom. The Lord does not desire that any should perish. And I'm certain, and I have to say that I'm certain of it, that even Noah's heart, too, is the example that he did not desire that any perish because the Lord loved him and he was given an understanding of God's love for all these wicked people. 120 years of pleading with them. That is exceeding long suffering. But now, ever since, we by God's grace and mercy, ever since the first angel's message was given, the second angel's message was given, we're in the third angel's message. All this time now has been over 160 years at least. It's been a long time, and the Lord is still long-suffering. We need to be speaking a whole lot louder, I believe, and I talk to myself first, pleading a whole lot stronger, from the house first, then into the highways and the byways. We need to come into that unity and bind up tight together in Christ. We need to be able to be willing to go forward, putting it all on the altar and making sure that there's nothing left behind, putting aside all fleshly differences and let Christ shine forth in everything that we do. Because even as you had said, dear brother, they had a testimony in Noah's life that the word that he preached was confirmed in the life that he lived. He preached and lived it at the same time. We have to get to that point, too, that as we are talking about Jesus, talking about the end times coming, talking about all these things that are true, are we living them? Are we able to be that example so that others can even shudder at the word from heaven? Is that what we're able to do? So I guess it's a powerful testimony that he gave. But we have to have that same powerful testimony as we walk too, and I speak to for myself first. So I praise the living God for the study, and I praise God for giving me greater understanding on how, you know, how Noah must have been surrounded by so much opposition and so much pressure of being such an outcast, but yet he did not give up, and he did not give in. And I tend to believe he probably loved even all the more as he saw the day approaching that the end was coming. He pleaded all the more strongly for every soul he could reach. At least that's my, you know, little small, little brain understanding. And by God's grace, I pray that he can help me understand even more.
That was blessings, everyone. Upon reading the story of Noah and realizing, wow, 120 years he preached the gospel, the word, and only 8 people were saved. And I was like, wow, that is so terrible. Not one person was converted other than the 8. That was the question that came up. But by God's grace, after reading it more and more, I'm like, wow, I can see how, you know, they just saw him to be crazy and just went back into the world and just, you know, did what was easier for them to do just to fit in with everyone else. But by God's grace, I have a testimony that I just wanted to share. This morning, I woke up and I prayed and I read the Bible, and I woke up in good spirits. I've been having a tough week, but I woke up in good spirit and I prayed. I said, Lord, I said, please let it be that I have a good day today, that, you know, work has been stressful, but Lord, please, just let it be that I have a good day today. And I woke up, and whatever it was, I just started on my day, and I started with, you know, God, and just said, yes, it's going to be a good day. I get on the bus, you know, as I usually do, get on the train, and there was this guy, and just talk about fanatic and just people seeing him being deluded and just being crazy. There was this guy on the train, and he was reading the Bible, but he was reading the Bible in French or Creole. But I sat next to him. He made space for me. It was a little space, but I sat next to him, and I was reading one of the pamphlets that Elder Roth shared with me. So I was reading it, but I was looking in his Bible, but I can't understand Creole nor French. I understand very, 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 very little. So I was there, and he was talking, and he was reading in the language. And I was just like, I wish I understood what he was saying so I could talk to him about it. But in saying certain things, and then I realized the book that he was reading the Lamentations of Jeremiah. I said, okay, you know. So then he was saying, and he was reading, and he was talking, and he was so adamant and passionate about what he was saying. And he was reading out aloud. And I was like, I wonder if anybody on the train is understanding what he's saying and, you know, and is being moved or being blessed by it. But people kept on looking around at him as like, oh, he's making a lot of noise and, you know, and just looking at him weird. So I was like, oh, man. And it came to my mind. I was like, wow. If it's one thing I came to realize after coming off that train ride was, even in Creole and French, I understood and I felt that he was, by the way, he was just so adamant. And the Lord, he started saying things in English. And a little bit, and I started picking up on what he was saying. And he kept on saying that the word of in the Bible was given by the Holy Spirit. And for, you know, it's for men. It's an inspiration of God and not of man. And he was saying that, and he kept on repeating it. And I was like, okay, like, yes, amen. And he was saying, you know, the Ten Commandments, they were given to Noah. They were given to Moses, and it was not written by man. It was coming from God. It was an inspiration from God. It was given from him. And I was like, yes, amen. I started to understand more. And then he started reciting 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and I believe it says, study thyself to show approved. And I was like, yes, amen. And I was like, amen. And, you know, he kept on saying it, and he said, even in Revelation, and it was such a blessing to me that I was sitting there, and I was like, thank God. I couldn't even tell you what a rejoicing it was to me just to understand and know that he was speaking of God. The lady came onto the train and he started talking to her. I guess he realized, you know, and he said to her, I understood that he asked her, you know, he was talking to somebody. He was talking to them even though they didn't understand him. He was just talking, and this one lady said, thank you, Sister Lynn. That's exactly, and it was so funny because after he started searching for it, I took out my Bible and I searched for it with him. And he was trying to find it, but he kept on repeating it. And I said, okay, I found it. And I showed it to him in the King James Version, in my Bible, in English. And he said, yes, yes, amen, hallelujah. And he was just, he wanted to go into his, amen. It was no barrier when Christ is present. And it was such a rejoicing to me. My day was amazing just standing on that. Just, it was amazing. I can't even tell you. I was just, yes. And so he was talking, and I hear him saying in French to the lady, are you, like, he was talking, and you could tell she was looking at him like, oh, I don't really want him to talk to me, you know, because I don't want anybody to think that, you know, he's crazy. But you could tell she was being a little standoffish, but he kept on talking and telling her it was all the inspiration, that the Bible is the word that everybody needs to live by. They need to live by it. They need to do this. You know, it's not for men. It's for God. Hallelujah. He kept on saying it. And I was like, wow. I was blessed. So, I found the scripture for him. He wanted to mark it. And I gave him a pen and everything. And I gave him a sticky. I said, mark on the sticky. And, you know, he was like, you know, thank you. And he was asking me, like, you know, now he looked at me as I was reading the Ten Commandments. And he said, oh, she's reading the Ten Commandments. And then he turned to me and started talking to me. We started having a conversation. And I shared with him. He said to me, what church do you go to? And I said, I do home church. And he said, yes, you do home church? I said, yes. And I said, he said, are you guys preaching Jesus? And I said, yes, dear brother, we are preaching Jesus. And so I gave him the book because he said he attended the church, and I gave him one of the pamphlets that Rob shared with me about the true church. So I'm hoping he's blessed by that, and I wrote down the website for him, so by God's grace, if ever he is moved, he can come in and this fellowship. And he kept on asking, is there a men's fellowship? And I said, it's for everyone. I said, it's for everyone. You know, you come. I said, Monday night is for the women. Wednesday, we could all, you know, come in and we pray. And I told him what time we open up for the Sabbath on Fridays, for the everything. So by God, it was such a rejoicing to me that even though he said French, Creole, Patois, everything. He said, I know it. But it was amazing to just know that he in French and or Creole was just diving into the Word of God, and just it was an uplifting to me, and it shaped my day. I'm blessed.
Definitely, I heard something that was sort of like an example about sin and no, was a faith. I heard it as it said, one cherished sin will little by little will debase the character, bring all its noble powers into subjection to the evil desire. The removal of one safeguard from the conscience, the indulgence of one evil habit, one neglect of the high claims of duty breaks down the defenses of the soul and opens the way for Satan to come in and led us astray. So why was this thinking, for example, sin is sort of like a weapon, like a sword, but if we keep our faith, it is like a simple shield to shield us from it. And that way we will not be corrupt up in the spirit, but blessed in heart.
Amen, Brother Joshua, and that is very true, very true. And thank you, Sister Cece, for that lovely testimony. And we'll be definitely keeping that brother in prayer, that he will understand the material that's in the booklet and check it out with the scriptures and indeed come to understand who and what God's true church is. And God did indeed hear and answer your prayer, sister. And 2 Timothy 2:15 is a very powerful verse. And God will definitely bless those who follow it and study for themselves. But you also mentioned that there was only 8 individuals saved from all of Noah's preaching. And that's partly true because there were 8 living individuals, 7 besides Noah, that were saved. But there were other individuals that accepted the message but died in the Lord before the flood came. So there were more individuals that accepted the message but then fell asleep in the Lord. And then there were living individuals that accepted the message and were saved alive. And it's going to be the very same in these last days. There's going to be multitudes of individuals who embrace Christ as their Savior and live up to all the truth that they know, but they will fall asleep in the Lord before the end comes. And they'll be resurrected, just like all the individuals that died before the flood that were faithful to the Lord, you know, like Seth and Methuselah and all of the others that had embraced the message of truth. They will be resurrected as well. And then the living saints, the 144,000, will not see death. They will be alive when Christ comes and will not have to be resurrected. And that's sort of the antitype of the living that were with Noah in the ark. They didn't have to see death before they were saved. They were saved while they were alive in the ark. And so the 144,000 will be saved alive in the ark of safety, which is Jesus Christ. they will not have to see death. So it's it may be a little farther here in Patriarchs and Prophets, where Ellen White mentions that there were other individuals that had accepted the message but then died in the Lord before the flood came. I know Methuselah was one of them. He embraced the message and was even helping Noah, which I think was his grandson or great-grandson, was helping him actually build the ark. And he died in the very year that the flood occurred, just before it. Anyway, it's you can understand a little bit more clearly what was taking place before the flood, and then what is taking place now and will continue to take place before Christ comes in the destruction of the world. And you can understand why Christ made the comparison between the two. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days when the Son of Man comes. In another place he says, and will he find faith on the earth when he comes? That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Are we going to maintain our faith during such a time of trouble as never has been before? Even then, will we be able to maintain our faith in Christ? That's why right now, and every day from this point on until the end comes, whether that end for you is sleeping in Christ or whether that end is seeing Christ come, each and every day is a day in which our faith, our hope, and our trust is to be built up through experience, through testing, so that it will become strong enough to allow us to go through the time of Jacob's trouble without wavering. Noah's faith, hope, and trust in God was being built every single day of those 120 years. And our faith, hope, and trust in God is to be built every day of our life. And yes, we stumble and fall. Shame on us. But praise God for His merciful kindness and forgiveness of our repentant sins. And He's there with His hand to lift us back up and say, go forward, my son. Go forward, my daughter. Because I'm with you all the way. And I will strengthen you and work in you to do of my good pleasure so that self can be crucified in you and the devil will have no part. So while the world was making folly and deriding Noah and claiming he was a deluded old man and continuing on in their wickedness and disobedience of God, it didn't have any effect on Noah other than to make him sad at so many choosing destruction instead of life. Continuing. Noah stood like a rock amid the tempest. Remember, this was before the flood. He stood like a rock amid the tempest, surrounded by popular contempt and ridicule. He distinguished himself by his holy integrity and unwavering faithfulness. A power attended his words, for it was the voice of God to man through his servant. Connection with God made him strong in the strength of infinite power. Where did Noah's strength come from that kept him firm and unwavering? It wasn't within him. He didn't find it by looking within. He found it through connection with God. We also have to do the same. It's through our daily, moment-by-moment union with God as His servant that we also are made strong in His strength. That's why we can't allow our eyes to focus on our difficulties or our circumstances or the trials and the suffering that we're going through. Because we don't find strength by looking down. We only find strength by looking up to God. That's why the devil comes against us as a roaring lion. He's trying to discourage us, to get us to take our eyes off of Christ and look down. And if he can do that and get us to look downward, he's almost won the battle. It's only out of the mercy of God that the Spirit comes to us and pricks us and say, hey, don't look down. Look up. And that's where we find our shelter, our help, our refuge, our ark of safety, by focusing upon the face of Christ by faith. When a storm comes over your house and starts raining and windy and thunder and lightning, it's easy to become fearful. But it's by faith that you know the sun is just above the clouds and is still shining in full strength. Even though you can't see it, you know it's there. Because you have tested it. And you know it's true. It's the same with God. Test Him. Taste and see that the Lord is good, so that you'll remember it the next time, that the Lord is good. God loves you. And He does not allow any temptation, any trial, any unsavory circumstance to come to you unless He sees it's for your best, with the goal of heaven in mind. If you understand that, then every testing of your faith is for the purpose of building your faith in God. Every trial that comes to you is for the purpose of building your faith in God. So no matter how terrible the trial, or how hurtful the temptation, or the situation that you're going through, don't focus on how it affects you, but remember that it's for the purpose of building your faith, so that you'll be able to stand and not give up the warfare when the time of Jacob's trouble is here. So look up above the stormy clouds and see the face of Jesus concerned over you, but with his hand held out to support you, no matter how strong that storm and tempest becomes. A little farther down in this issue of the flood, in this book, I believe, you'll find that even though Noah and his helpers built the ark to the best of their ability, yet that storm and tempest was so horrific that if it wasn't for the divine protection of God over that ark, it would have been broken up and everyone and everything in it lost. Dear ones, God loves you, and he will protect you in the greatest storm and tempest that could ever come your way. He will not allow you to be lost if you continue clinging and looking to him. Just as he protected the ark, he'll protect you. He's promised to do so. If you've given yourself to him, then you're in his strong arms and hands, and not even the devil himself can take you out of God's hands. So look up by faith and live. So it was Noah's connection with God that made him strong in the strength of infinite power. Continuing. While for 120 years his solemn voice fell upon the ears of that generation in regards to events which, so far as human wisdom could judge, were impossible. Are there any thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones? Because we see the very same infidelity and doubt occurring today.
Praise the Lord and Sabbath blessings. So many things are kind of like going through my mind at the moment. And it's like so many times with different circumstances and you feel like you can't go further or that you're definitely like a spectacle. I know I had mentioned before that now, for example, at work, it's like they're all into quote-unquote Halloween and the decorations and the candy and all this other foolishness. And the one coworker that I continue to lift in prayer, who is right in front of me, Latoya, she also said that she didn't, subscribe to or believe in Halloween and things like that. And yet, I don't know if it's because of the pressure of everyone else and things like that. I can see how she's like caving a little bit. And in a way, I kind of like stick out like a sore thumb where everyone else's desk is like decorated with all this foolishness and things like that. And they even have gone so far as to put like little, I don't want to say jack-o'-lanterns, but like little containers to quote unquote go quote trick-or-treating or whatever right there in the office or what have you. And there's one on her desk as well. And I just silently continue to pray for her, you know, to be able to stand and to be able to not feel bad when you're going to stick out, so to speak, like a sore thumb. And so I continue to pray as well that, you know, I don't look at those things, but continue to have, spiritual blinders on or binders on, because only as we keep our eyes on Christ can we truly look up and live, so to speak, and not as we look down, it just brings us down. And
So I thank the Lord to be able to stand for him, but continue to solicit prayer to continue to stand firm for him, because there's so many things that are going on right now at work, and they're not necessarily fear things. And other people have seen them, and all I can say when they come to me with them is that, you know, life isn't fair, and that God didn't have fair things done to him. And who are we that if we are his children, who should we think that we are that we should, quote, have fair things done to us? All we can do is to try and pray to stay in his word and to stay in prayer and to stay faithful to him. And then he will allow us to be strong and to be like that sore thumb that stands out and to be the, quote, weird one. And to be the one where they're whispering behind your backs, or to be the one where, man, she must really be weird. Look at that. And things like that, you know. And not to worry about it, but to be about your work. And yesterday, because of some circumstances, I wasn't able to get into work. And then today when I went back, a lot of different ones were like, where were you yesterday? And we missed you. And wow, I mean, you know, you think that you don't even, you're not even seen or what have you. And, but I mean, I hate to keep going on and on and on, but you know, just the fact that in this time, there's so many things that go on that can weigh us down if we let it, you know, and it's just a matter that we have to keep our eyes focused on Christ, because I know personally, I feel like, for many different avenues, I'm like overwhelmed in a lot of different things. And so it's just a matter to continue to pray and continue to look up. And I don't know, maybe I'm not even making sense because I feel like I'm just rambling here. But I just wanted to say, you know, thank the Lord for his blessing and keeping, and to just to stay strong. And
amen, sister. And you are making sense. Because, as I mentioned before, peer pressure is one of the greatest tools the devil uses to get a follower of God to remain silent when they should say something, or to remain in place when they should actually get up and walk out, or to join along with them when they know better. And it's hard to stand up against your friends or coworkers or even loved ones when they try to get you to follow along. And if you don't follow along, they try to encourage you. And if their encouragement doesn't work, then they start deriding you and calling you names, hoping that the fear of being labeled will get you to cave into their requests. And when that doesn't work, that just might be the point at which they say, wow, everything that we tried to do failed. When people do it to me, I cave in, but we tried to do it to her, and she didn't cave in. Why? What makes her different? And that's when they are able to be reached with the idea that it's because you're a follower of God, and he's given you the extra grace and the strength to remain steadfast to the truth that is in his word. That your very life can be a testimony witnessing to them of the power of God. And I pray, dear sister, that that is exactly what will take place to your coworkers there, and even in your family. That your steadfastness in serving God will lead them to understand that it's not human power that has enabled you to remain firm in following your convictions, but it's divine power that can only come from God. And Lord willing, that curiosity will then lead them to want to know more. So, dear sister, remain firm. Keep looking up. And it will be your connection with God that will give you this strength and grace to remain steadfast and firm with the right spirit being manifested through you to others. So praise God, dear sister. Praise God.
Amen, Brother Rob. And praise God indeed. Dear Sister Lynn, yep, just stand firm and hang in there and don't sway one way or the other. I want to share something on that point too. And that had to do for me was for birthdays. I don't have a super large family, but they are big into all the birthday thing. And it has taken me lots of, some time to basically wean myself out of even, cards and all this other thing. It's taken some time. And recently, my sister had a birthday that was coming up, and she was turning 50. So that was it's a big to-do for her and for the family and things like that. And I prayed about, Lord, I don't even know, I don't like the politics of all these things. I want to bring Christ into this matter. How am I going to do this so that she can understand that this is not what, this is not what the Lord wants us to be focusing on, is celebrating ourselves as if we brought ourselves into the world and we are somehow, entitled to people lauding us and praising us for basically being born. And that's really all I can see the whole birthday thing about, because no praise is ever given to the Lord. From what I was raised up understanding birthdays, how they were done in my home, it was always about I'm receiving all these gifts or somebody else is getting gifts, and everyone's being praised as if though they did something through that year. Somehow they, I don't know, save lives or raise the dead, or I don't. It gets to be a bit ridiculous after a while. So when that time came around, and I was praying, I'm like, Lord, I need some words, because I really would love for my sister to be able to understand that she needs to give God the glory for why she's even alive, and hopefully somehow. And I know that she, the seeds have been planted, and she brings up, the Lord and the influence of him in her life in her own little way, more than she ever has over the last 5 years or so. She's speaking more about the Lord. I don't know if that's because she knows that's where I will definitely be talking about the Lord. And we've been keeping her in prayer. You all have prayed for her also, along with my family. To try and make a long story short, I called her on that day. And what I did is I wanted to let her know that I thank the Lord for allowing her to be born. And I praise the Lord for letting her be my sister. And I let her know that I was grateful to God for the influence that she had in my life. And I was very thankful that the Lord has made her my sister and let her be alive up until this day that I was talking to her on the phone. And in truth, it was really interesting, her response, because she became a bit quiet, and then she says, oh, wow, that's what she said, Sister Lynn. She says, oh, wow, that's beautiful, thank you. I said, amen. I said, I'm very thankful to God that you're my sister. I love you very much. I said, I'm thankful that the Lord allowed you to be born, and that's a beautiful thing. I love. And so in that way, it took all the focus on praising her out of the question whatsoever. There was no praise to her for being born. There was none of those things at all. And I actually, the Lord allowed my mouth to mention, that she's getting older. She didn't want to hear that part. But I think the Lord wanted that to happen so that she could understand her mortality and realize that you are getting older. You need to start making some decisions about your, you know, about salvation. So, in truth, it really was a short conversation, but it was a beautiful conversation, and I praise God for Him giving me that chance. And it happened actually while my wife and I were out there, Susanna and I were out there visiting the brothers and sisters out there in Ohio, and that's when, you know, that time had came. But yeah, for, you know, baptism and stuff, and the fellowship too. So we happened to be in a very beautiful area when I was making the phone call, enjoying some pioneer time and things like that. And so I just praise God that He will strengthen us and give us wisdom and give us understanding even in meeting those things like that. So, dear Sister Lynn, don't fret not, neither worry. Stand strong just exactly as the Lord is planting your feet, to waver not whatsoever, proclaim Christ all the way, plead with the Lord to give you wisdom, understanding, and long-suffering and love towards those who do not have understanding, so that even as Brother Rob said, all the things that they try to do, eventually they're going to get to a point and see that that's not working. There's got to be something more to this. I may want to know what that is. So I'm praying that my sister will feel that way also, and she will begin to ask more questions. And as many things start to continue to become more catastrophic in the world, many people are going to start asking questions of us, dear servants of the Lord, as to what's going on. So these times that we are in are training times. They're beautiful times for us to get closer and closer and closer to the Lord, even as the Brother Rob brought in as the song, the opening song, draw nearer and nearer and nearer to the Lord. Because then others are going to see our closeness to Christ, and they're going to want to know, what is this all about? Who is this Jesus that we didn't hear much about before and now we're hearing so much about?
Amen, amen. And that was such a beautiful point that you put, Brother Joel, because you took all of the praise, all of the, so to speak, focus off of the person, your dear sister, and put it on Christ, on God. And amen. And praise the Lord for how He moved and gave you those beautiful words to say, that it touched her so much that she actually was speechless. And so praise the Lord for that, because I know that, again, when they come around at work and they have the cards to sign and things like that for the birthday person, and everybody is putting, oh, happy birthday and things like that, I praise the Lord, because from the very first time as He allowed me to see more and more about the quote-unquote celebration of birthdays and things like that, and that really we shouldn't be a part of that, I was also in prayer about, okay, what do I do when people bring these cards around and things like that, you know? And so what I usually put now is just, praise the Lord that He allowed you one more year. And I put a little smiley face. And so I'm wondering if, because I've done that enough times, to where they've actually gotten a committee together now at work to where people are going to be setting aside a time when they're going to be doing that for everyone. And someone came to me and they said, I just wanted to be fair because, you know, everyone is entitled to their beliefs. And when it is your quote-unquote birthday, do you want us to decorate your cubicle? And I said, I really thank you for asking me that. And actually, no. I mean, if anyone is going to ask me why I believe what I believe, I'm happy to tell them that. But, you know, as far as to have anyone else, quote-unquote, praising me or, quote-unquote, giving me accolades, I can't take that. Because if it weren't for God, where would I be, or any of us be, for that matter, you know? And the other day when so many different I'll put it stressors, were coming down at work, I actually had to get up from my desk and go to another floor and just pray silently for the strength to make it through the rest of the day. Because when you see that sometimes, you know, the enemy is just, you know, I'm not even going to give him glory, but praise the Lord that He gave me the ability to get up and just go to Him, run to Him. Lord, please, I need You. I cannot make it another second in this day without Your help.
because I'm not going to make it. And then when I got back, you know, praise the Lord, I was able to have a different focus and to continue on with my work and with his help to make it through another day. You know, so ultimately the bottom line is that, yes, we just really have to cling with every ounce of our being to God. And sometimes it's like harder than others. It really, really is. But by his grace, you know, just to cling. I mean, sometimes even though I might be tired or whatever, or half asleep or what have you, just to come in and hear the testimonies of others, you know, that is a blessing. And so praise the Lord that he gives us what we need. Amen. Safely through another week, God has brought us. Oh, amen. Maybe someone can sing that one. That's a beautiful song. I love that one. Praise the Lord.
Amen. What a Sabbath, sister. Before I say anything, I just have to say one thing. I love you so much. I've never even met you. I don't know you, like, know you at all, other than, like, one random women's studies. I don't know. I just love you so much. And I love your voice, like, you. There's a sense of peace with you. I have something I wanted to say. I did sort of, oh, you have a lovely voice. But I did miss the first testimony when you were speaking about it. And I picked up from when Brother Bob was, oh, by the way, what's the Sabbath, everyone? Sorry. I picked up from when Brother Bob was talking. And, you know, and as I was moved, I spoke concerning, what I wanted to share. It's a little bit what was posted. And I don't remember, how I came across it. And I don't remember where, but somewhere in Ecclesiastes, Solomon spoke, and he spoke of how the death of a person, I would love you guys to, oh, you guys are talking about this, how Solomon was talking about, the death is more important, the death of a person is more important than the birth of a person. And that struck me. It struck me in my heart. It struck me because it made me realize, you know how we talk about the end of time and time is short and tomorrow is not promised to anyone, and how we're supposed to watch and pray, and how we're supposed to always, you know, constantly self-maintenance, by asking for forgiveness, by doing, working out our salvation through fear and with fear and trembling, you know, and to, you never know when is your time to go. You never know when your time is up. So, you know, the longer you stay and prolong and you don't do so, you know, you're actually, it's almost like playing Russian roulette with your life. Those who do not confess, you know, stuff is, it is like playing Russian roulette. Because you can go, and then what's going to happen when I didn't get a chance? You know? The death is more important than a person's birth. Because once you, you know, as the Christian walk, and everything that we do, Christ, everything that we say, Christ, everything that we think, Christ, you know, if, you know, everything's written in the book of remembrance. You know, when you choose Christ, your name will be in the book of life. So, you know, we are the one that changes. God doesn't change. And so many, how Ellen White talks about the Advent walk and her vision, and then some people that were on the Christian path, they said, you know, they had walked this way before, and decided they didn't want to go anymore, and then the light on their feet goes dark, and they fall down into the abyss, and those things are all spiritual things. All of those things are all spiritual things. So the thing is that why celebrate a person's birth when if a person dies and they are in, you know, they were in the life of Christ and they were living, of course, the life that they know and they were living the best way that they knew how, you know, constantly self-meekness when the Holy Spirit impressed their heart, you know, their heart is not hardened, it's softened, and, you know, they don't worry the Holy Spirit. They don't worry, you know, the conscience that comes to us. They are obedient. When they close their eyes and made to rest, to know that the devil cannot come upon their grave as he did upon Moses' grave and try to claim us for him. When Christ was saying, no, this is mine, you know, that is a blessing. That is a huge blessing. And I don't know if I'm strong enough yet to be at that part where I can actually rejoice when a close loved one of mine has passed away, knowing that they lived the best way that they knew how. Because I think I would still be hurt because I would miss them. But what Solomon said is really true. And is really deep, you know. So, hang in there. Keep the good faith. Fight the good fight. Okay? And just know that God is there and He's with you, because we're going to have so many more things to stand on. Halloween is coming up, and Christmas, oh my goodness, Christmas is coming up, and all these different things, you know, fight the good fight, standing there. Love you!
Good evening, everyone. I would like to sing Safely Through Another Week.
Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now our blessings seek on the approaching Sabbath day. Day of all, awake the best, emblem of eternal rest. Day of all, awake the best.
Thank you, dear sister. Are there any other songs that someone would like to sing? Any other praises to God in testimonies or any other thoughts or comments or questions dealing with tonight's study and subject? Or any other questions you may have, please feel free to do so, dear ones. There's been a request in the room for the hymn, We Speak of the Realms. We speak of the realms of the blessed, that country so bright and so fair. And oft are its glories confessed, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its pathway of gold, its walls decked with jewels so rare, its wonders and pleasures untold, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its freedom of sin from sorrow, temptation, and care. From trials without and within, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its service of love, of the robes which glorified wear, of the church of the firstborn above, but what must it be to be there? Our mourning is all at an end when raised by the life-giving word. We see the new city descend, adorned as a bride for her Lord. The city so holy and clean, no sorrow can breathe in the air. No gloom of affliction or sin, no shadow of evil is there. Do thou midst temptation and woe for heaven myself prepare. And shortly I also shall know and feel what it is to be there. Then o'er the bright fields we'll roam in glory celestial and fair, with saints and with angels at home, and our three gods will be there. I love that song. I find myself singing it in my mind throughout the day, or humming it, and I think it's driving Michelle a little bit crazy because she keeps hearing it over and over again.
That is so true, Elder Ross. Sometimes I go and sleep, and that is the song that
I get up, but even though that I'm trying to be able to learn it, the melody and the words always come up to my heart. And I remember when you sing it one time, I always remember the words. But I wanted to share a testimony. This is something that I always wanted to share with people because of how mighty the Lord is. This study has been a blessing, especially the way how it began, the way how Noah stood as a rock in the midst of so many confusion, everything that was happening, and it seems like he was talking, at the same time, it seems to be that he was by himself. But this testimony that I have, it was when I just received the gospel and I didn't have biblical or spirit of prophecy quote to be able to stand on certain truth. But I received it by the way how it was given to me. Whenever it was shared to me, the third angel's message, you know when you receive something by faith, but then you need to have an experience with it? When I received the third angel's message, one of the books that actually made me just get up by faith and run with it was the Last Day's Event. When I had purchased the Last Day Event, I couldn't put it down. And even though that I was reading the book, I decided to leave the city, even the country. I went to Mexico. And while I was over there, I thought that maybe the situation was going to be a little bit easy for me to be able to start walking this new life. But I realized that it wasn't as easy because it was a strange doctrine, especially on a third world country when Catholicism is the major religion. It doesn't matter where you were, any place you went, they had the picture of the Pope, and also they have the Virgen de Guadalupe, which we know Semiramis. But anyway, as you continue trying to be able to share the gospel, you were basically demonized because of the way how they keep their statues and everything is so sacred. That is when I realized how lonely this message was going to be, because you couldn't find people with like faith to be able to worship it. And my biggest trial was my father, because I used to worship the ground he used to walk on. And I was so fearful that if I would stand in my faith, I was going to lose him. It was the hardest thing to do, because being that we had separated from such a young age, I was I didn't see my parents because I was given to my grandmother when I was 9 months old, and here it is, I felt like I was going to lose them all over again, and this time it was going to be forever because I was convicted that I was not going to look back because of all how the Lord had actually did so many things in my life. And it was so fearful for me, but that was the beginning of the warfare. Here it is, I'm in a third world country. I'm here in front of my dad trying to be able to share the gospel. But then again, I didn't have enough information to be able to share it because it's like as soon as I got the gospel, I just ran with it. And I felt so helpless. And the only thing that I remember in my mind was, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sin. And that was something that I just keep repeating over and over again. I was forced to be able to go to church, which I didn't. And it was very hard for me because I don't want to be disobedient to my parents. But then I had to stand for principle. So I would say, no, I'm not going. And at the same time, I'm fearful for the repercussion that will come. Well, trying to be able to stand in a principle that you've been convicted by faith, yet you didn't have enough to be able to proclaim the message, but only verses here and there that the Lord would place in my heart to be able to utter. I remember when I felt like it was even harder for me to be able to read the spirit of prophecy, because I will take the book that I had, and I started to read it. And as I was reading, here comes Sabbath. And when Sabbath comes, we're not supposed to be doing certain labor. And it was another fight all over again, because this is when I have to get up to try to do all the things then, which I do preparation way before. But on the actual day, it is expected for you to do it like every other day. Here it is. I have to go back again and stand my ground. There was a day where it was becoming so difficult to read the Word of God that I would actually take my Bible, put it in my sweatsuit, and go diving, go towards almost going to the airport and sit upon a rock. And actually, so when Elder Rock was talking about the rock, and it was so much memories that was coming up on my head. So I was sitting down with the Bible, just saying, Lord, I cannot believe that I left America to come to Mexico to see if I have some time with you so we can be able to study. But here I'm having a harder time because now I can't even open the Bible. So here I am discussing, talking to the Lord. I'm coming back. As I came back, someone closed the door for the house. I mean, the house was, the gate was closed, the door was closed, and we have a Doberman. It's a dog, which he didn't really like me. And he was actually in the place where my father has to come in and park the car. And I have to go to work. So then I said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I have to get in the house. I'm going to be late. And by God's grace, I climbed a wall that basically is twice my height. I had to go to the corner and jump over and kind of crawl over to the concrete wall and here toss myself on the ground. And guess what was waiting for me? The dog was right in front of my face. And I said, Lord, I know that if there's any time that I didn't really believe in you, today is going to be a day that I'm going to need you, because the dog's face was right with me. I'm here on my, in the same position the dog is, because I have to fall on the ground and try to get up, but I can't, because if I get up, I feel like the dog is going to get at me. His eyes and my eyes made four. And I don't know if I spoke dog language, but I told the dog, if you bite me, I'm going to bite you back. And I didn't know what happened at that moment. I was just praying in my heart saying, Lord, please help me, because I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. And do you believe that by God's grace, the dog backed away? I just got up on my feet and decided to come into the house and went and sat on my bed because I couldn't believe what just happened. And then the individual that locked the door was not expecting me for me to come in because of the dog. And when she saw me in the bed, she was shocked. And I said, Lord, even though we don't think and we can't see and we don't understand, the Lord in His mercy, He does come through for us. When I couldn't speak to them about the Word of God, two individuals decided to come and visit my father, not knowing that this was a missionary, Seventh-day Adventist pastor that I guess long time ago was talking to my father about the gospel. And that pastor had a wife, and the wife reminded me of my sister Sheila. And because whenever I'm always having struggle when it comes to the word for me to remember, I always will call my sister, and my sister will tell me where it is. Here it was that when I couldn't do anything about it, the Lord sent individuals where they now became the mouthpiece for me to be able to express what I believe in, because at the time I didn't know. And they was able to sit there and speak to my father, his wife, and also my dad after later when he came back from work. He was kind of a little bit angry with me because the couple that came, I don't know how they knew how I was there. God's grace, He sent someone that was able to stand in the pillows where I could not communicate what it was. So in the beginning of the study that we were reading, that even if you don't know a little bit, or if you think that you might not be able to have the ability to be able to share it, when we can, the Lord will send. And when we don't have anybody there, the Lord will bring things to our remembrance. And the experiences that we have in the past, no matter how old they are, if you know that God was good in those days, He's the same today, He's the same yesterday, and He's the same forever. And He will bring that back to our mind to be able to remind us He doesn't leave us. We do. So if we hold on to the little bit of truth we have, even if we see that we feeble and we're not able to be able to share the word of God, because we are able to stand in those little principles, the Lord will send aid and He will help us. I just wanted to share that testimony.
Amen. Blessed Sabbath. I wanted to sing a song. It's Isaiah 60. And it goes like this. Isaiah 60, verse 1. I shine, for Thy light is come. Glory of the Lord is risen upon Thee. Arise and shine, for Thy light is come. And the glory of And while finding this in the Bible, I was reading it ahead, and I love the verses, and I think the verses goes well with your testimony, Mr. Sterling. So I'm just gonna read this, if you don't mind. And it goes, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they that gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And amen. I thought it was pretty, so I decided to share with you. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Sister. And Sister Rose, I found myself chuckling when you mentioned that as you were facing the dog, you told him that if you bite me, I'm going to bite you back. Then God protected you and allowed the dog to go away. And it brought up a story I remember, a real-life story. This individual had accepted the Lord, and he was walking home one day, and there happened to be the dog that felt that the whole block was his territory, even across the street, right? And he had walked that way before, and when the dog was out, the dog would usually chase him and then, you know, get within maybe 10 feet and stop and then turn around. He'd accomplish his purpose. You know, he was protecting his territory. Well, this particular time, after he had accepted Christ now, he was walking that block, and here comes the dog. And the dog seemed to be more fierce than normal, was more intense in his barking, and he was still charging when he got to that 10-foot sort of barrier, right? So my friend very quickly darted a prayer to God, and he remembered the text, Psalms 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. So he quickly claimed that promise and said, God, you've made this animal. You can control him. You know, if I get bit, well, it's because you want me to get bit. So he didn't run, but he also didn't stay where he was. He just kept walking, right? And the dog kept charging. And the dog got right up to where he was, and he tried to bite him. But he couldn't get any closer than just about 6 inches from his leg. So as he's walking, the dog's following him, and the dog is doing everything that it can to bite his leg, but he can't get any closer than 6 inches. And so my friend realized that God had miraculously answered his prayer, and he became joyful and started laughing. And the dog eventually gave up and then went back home. So, you know, God is the creator of all things, and as the creator, he can control them. And even though the devil can manipulate things, he can't out-control God. Because God is the creator, the devil isn't. And God answers his promises, and the devil can't do anything about it other than try to bite us, but he can't go any further than what God allows. So that brought up that memory, and I just wanted to share that, because Psalms 50:15 is a precious promise, and it doesn't have to be claimed just for dog or animal attacks. It can be claimed any time we're going through trouble. And if God delivers us from the trouble, then we need to follow the rest of the verse. And thou shalt glorify me. So when God delivers you from something, praise him for it. Glorify him. And thank you, Sister Rose, for doing so.
Amen. And by the way, the devil did not have his way, because my father accepted the message, and he is so happy that he has come this far in receiving the message. And I'm so glad. If you have ever seen in the room, his name is Rodolfo. So the enemy still did not get his victory. Praise God. And I wanted to share the hymn. Is he lives. I serve our risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice so sheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see his loving care. Although my heart grows weary, I'll never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, he lives, Christ Jesus is today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to involve. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and say, eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. No other is so loving, so good and kind. Better? He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Amen.
Praise the Lord. That was so beautiful. I love when you and dear Joshy sing, dear Sister Rose. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. And you know, I always love that story when you speak of the dog and how you say, look, if you bite me, I'm going to bite you back. And I love the story that Elder Rob gave when he was speaking of his friend with the dog and how the Lord saved. And it made me remember as well when I was living in Mexico and I was with a particular family where I was living, like, up on the roof. And there, I think it was a Doberman, yes. And this particular Doberman, at first I was kind of scared of him because he was, like, intimidating. And we became friends. And then all of a sudden, one day, when I went to go and speak to the dog or what have you, he kind of stood back and he just kind of glared at me. But in between his glares, it was kind of like he was saying, no, 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 stay back. I don't want to bite you. I'm sick. I don't want to bite you. Good night, dear Sister Michelle. Take care. God bless. And come to find out, the dog had rabies. And I know it was nothing but the Lord that, you know, protected, because we had become friends, little dog and myself. And it was like he, in between the madness of the illness, his eyes were looking as though, I really don't want to bite you, you know. I you become my friend, so please stay away, stay away. And I don't remember exactly how the end of that went, but I just remember how the Lord protected, in that the dog didn't want to bite. He didn't come near me, even though you could tell that he was actually sick. So praise the Lord that how the Lord protects, you know.
You know what? I have something I like to share. All the talk, you know, and stuff that happens with, you know, dogs and stuff, biting and stuff, it just makes me remember something. In the book of Proverbs, King Solomon talks about, he says, the commandments of God, it protects your going out and your coming in. And bind it continually upon your heart and tie it about your neck. So the story where the dog that Brother Bob shared almost bit the man's leg, but he couldn't. And like with the Rosie and how the dog was she was afraid the dog was gonna bite her, but he didn't. And even your story, you know, whether it's a dog or an animal or someone facing persecution from another person, whether verbally or physically, the commandments of God, it protects the going out and the coming in. And that's just what I wanted to say. Oh, you know what? There's a song. It's a song. It's in Proverbs. I can share a little bit of it. I think we've sang it on here before. My son, he's my father's commandment, and forsake not the love of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart, and tie them above thy neck. When thou comest, they shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is the lamp, and the law is light, and reprove of instructions of the way of life. Proverbs 6:20-23. Amen.
Well, I thank one and all for fellowshipping with us this evening and indeed bringing edification and joy and increase in knowledge to each one of us. And praise God that He has seen fit to pour His Spirit upon us. And I pray that we will retain the Spirit with us, that will allow Him to lead and guide us at all times and in all circumstances, and that we can discern His still small voice in our lives. I ask you to please bow your heads and kneel as far as you're able to do so for closing prayer. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for being here with us this evening. I pray that you will go with each precious soul to lead and guide them, and those that are on the other side of the world that are entering into the day of the Sabbath, that you will please give them a wonderful and blessed Sabbath experience. Indeed, Father, refresh their hearts, enliven their souls, increase their spiritual walk with Thee, so that they may truly know and understand that You are their God and that You will be with them through thick and thin. Please also be with the rest of us for this evening, and I pray that You will give us a good and restful night's sleep. Please keep our last thoughts on things above and wake us up with the same thoughts upon Thee and the truth, and help us to receive another rich blessing from fellowshipping together with others of like faith tomorrow. Thank you for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with all of us now. And thank you for hearing and answering our prayers and the prayers on our prayer lists and the prayer lists of this home church. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, God bless, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon in just a few hours.